Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you back to another important episode of The New World next week, which, of course, you can find all the sources, all the bibliography information, all the audio, video, and so much more at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, after last week's food episode, I was kicking myself because I remembered there was something else that I wanted to include. And if it's not so much of earth-shattering importance, I find it just vastly interesting in this strange and changing world we live in. Horse meat found in yet more frozen dinners, and we'll grab this from naturalnews.com. A shocking food ingredient scandal that was first brought to light in Ireland back in January is now spreading across Europe as major food suppliers continue to be exposed for selling food products tainted with horse meat. Aldi, Tesco, and numerous other major food retailers throughout the UK and Europe have apparently been unknowingly selling frozen meals and other processed food products that contain up to 100% horse meat, despite being labeled as containing 100% beef. It all began back in mid-January when the Food Safety Authority of Ireland first identified the presence of horse meat DNA in certain food products distributed by Silvercrest Foods and Dale Pack, two subsidiaries of the ABP food group, as well as Liffey Meats and so much more. 10 million so-called beef burger patties were immediately pulled from store shelves across the UK, and fast food chain Burger King also quickly switched beef suppliers as the company had been sourcing beef from the aforementioned ABP for its UK market. Now, James, as I was putting together some of the sources for this story, I came across one that was news to me. There's even allegations of the horse meat scandal and global processed food suppliers linked to arms trafficking. Alleged arms trafficking connections with convicted Russian arms trafficker Viktor Boot. Now, that one may be unfounded and somewhat specious, but it spreads even to IKEA here, which, of course, is made for the late-night talk show fodder of, you know, which that's why comedy works, is because you ask the fundamentally simple question that exposes the foolishness of everything. Well, why would you get your food at a furniture store, James?
Right. I think the Onion might have had the best take on it. They said something like, "I may never buy food from a furniture store again." But yeah, exactly. On the Viktor Boot note, I hope people will look into my work on Boot in the past and some of the allegations that surrounded him and the conviction that came about and all of that. Some interesting shenanigans being played, I think, by a lot of players in that. But on the horse meat scandal itself, I have to wonder how surprised anyone is. I think the most surprising thing out of this is that people do trust these large, you know, multinational corporations that they don't know, they don't see, they don't interact with on a daily basis. They trust them to basically provide what they say they're providing. And why do we trust them? I think that hopefully if there's anything that comes out of this, it's that people will start to question what's in their foods a little bit more. And people will start to think about the fact that they don't know what's in their foods. And we can have all the government agencies we want in place to supposedly look over this food supply chain. But if you don't know the person who is giving you your food, then you don't know what's in your food. It's quite as simple as that. And so hopefully there's something good that will come out of this and more people will understand the need for food independence and to buy food for people you actually know on a local level. But we'll see if people get that message or if they just cry for more government regulation. Government regulation, that will solve the problem that was created by government regulation.
In the first place. I think my girlfriend and I have had to kind of bite our tongues as we kind of look at maybe some of our friends or coworkers and things, you know, buying Burger King or Taco Bell and some of these kind of fast food places and, you know, maybe not trying to, you know, you can't make people change by arguing with them or embarrassing them or things like that. But we've just kind of cracked up at the thought that, you know, the horse meat might actually be the healthiest thing in that food that you're eating. James, another interesting note on a somewhat esoteric level, just about a year ago when I was still doing the weekly Media Monarchy live broadcast, I started to track what I just called the horse meme. And I'll include just an archive search in the Media Monarchy archives of all of these stories that about a year ago, whether it was, you know, slaughterhouse news or the, you know, animal mistreatment on HBO television shows Romney, Ann Romney, the horse owners. It was just something I openly speculated about on the show, that it was just kind of bizarre that there was this horse meme going on. And now a year later, we see it still kind of playing out, which I find fascinating. Again, on a somewhat esoteric level.
Well, if you are what you eat, then I guess people were slowly becoming horses at the time. And therefore, that created this interest in horses at that particular point.
So, James, we'll move to our second story this week, which is one that concerns pretty much my backyard. And we'll take it from the local news source, K2, but it's an Associated Press article. Senator Ron Wyden, who, of course, we've mentioned many, many times on New World Next Week, Oregon senator, seeks investigation into Hanford tank leaks. The new chairman of a key Senate committee asked for a federal investigation Tuesday into leaking underground waste tanks at the nation's most contaminated nuclear site. State and federal officials announced last week that six tanks at the South Central Washington's Hanford Nuclear Reservation are leaking. The tanks hold a toxic and radioactive stew of waste left from decades of plutonium production for U.S. nuclear weapons. They actually helped create the Fat Man bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki in Japan in 1945. The nuclear site borders the Columbia River, the Pacific Northwest's largest river that flows between Washington and Oregon, home state to Democratic Senator Ron Wyden, the new chairman of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Wyden toured the Hanford site on February 19th, which was a week ago yesterday. And James, we actually did an entire episode last night at Ground Zero about the Hanford situation. And I think on the one hand, it maybe didn't seem like the most, you know, exciting or sort of maybe paranormally kind of Ground Zero episode. But I think we walked away from it saying, you know, that may not have been the most exciting episode, but it was definitely informative. And it seems like no one else is really talking about this story. We'll spend billions of dollars on the speculative specter of man-made global warming. Meanwhile, we are being destroyed by man-made toxic waste. And it's just hilarious, for lack of a better word, it's funny, as we've said before, that all, you know, the military, the Pentagon, all the, you know, the white coats and all the expert class will say, oh, there's nothing to worry about. It's not harmful. These things we created to kill people pose no risk to you and your family and your drinking water. Oh, drink up. Nothing to see here, James.
Well, speaking of memes, I think that there's been a meme of people discovering nuclear and waste dumps where they didn't suspect them to be. And one of those examples was recently posted up on FukushimaUpdate.com. They come from Dennis Riches of nuclearfree2045.blogspot.com. And it's quite an interesting story that he tells about a Great Lakes nuclear dump that a lot of people don't know exists, that I guess dates back to the time of the actual Manhattan Project. And so some of this waste is coming from a nuclear storage site called the Niagara Falls Storage Site that is currently or leaking and has the potential to leak even further into the Great Lakes themselves. And reading from that article, it says what this means is that the Niagara Falls storage site poses the same risk that infamous Hanford facility in Washington inflicts on the Columbia River. So a very related story in that regard. And it reminds me of a story that I covered back on Corbett Report Radio last year. West End Toronto residents shocked by local uranium facility, where they suddenly found out that this facility that had been in their backyard for 50 years was actually a uranium processing facility, and they had no idea. So there is a lot of this going around. There's a lot of things that people just don't know about until it's suddenly unveiled to them. And we don't know, really, what the effects of all these things are. And how can we possibly know them if we don't even know that these things exist? So there's a lot that we really do need to be concerned about in our environment, perhaps more so than carbon dioxide.
So, James, in the show notes, I'll include links to last night's Ground Zero episode. Like I said, we did an entire episode on the Hanford situation, and we had a guest on, a guy named Tom Carpenter, who's the executive director of the Hanford Challenge, basically a watchdog and whistleblower group looking to, you know, expose and keep the heat on the Hanford, you know, deteriorating situation. So I'll implore folks to go check that out. And again, it's fascinating once you start to kind of dig into the details. You find, again, as you'll so often find in conspiracy research, you start to dig and you go, oh, wow, this is really all kind of connected to all the bad players over the last few decades. Mark Felt, the alleged deep throat in the Watergate scandal, he worked at Hanford for a little while he was in the Pacific Northwest working with the FBI and also being a liaison to television shows. It's a fascinating and disturbing web, I think. So our third and final story this week, James, so we've got horse meat, we've got Hanford, and now, of course, the Academy Awards. But we'll take it from a different angle, from globalpost.com. Iran calls Oscar for Argo, which was awarded by Michelle Obama, an advertisement for the CIA. Iran has dismissed the awarding of an Oscar to the film Argo as an advertisement for the CIA and a Zionist plot to misrepresent an event arising from the 1979 Islamic Revolution. The Washington Post quoted the Fars News Agency in saying, "In a rare occasion in Oscar history, the First Lady announced the winner for Best Picture for the anti-Iran film Argo, which is produced by the Zionist company Warner Brothers." The Associated Press wrote that while Argo was not being shown in Iranian cinemas, bootleg DVD copies had created a buzz, with discussion divided along generational lines. The film, depicting the escape of American embassy staff from Tehran during the hostage crisis, has been roundly criticized by Iranians who took part in that revolution, while those too young to recall the events firsthand take a different view. And the AP goes on to get into the ins and outs of it. Breitbart called it obscene. James, what did you think? And I actually, this was, as the years have gone by, you know, I'm a media guy. I've always watched the award shows. I even enjoy it just from a live production angle, just to kind of see how it's all kind of put together. I basically just watched live blog updates of the Oscar announcements Sunday night. And when I saw it come up, and it's just like, the First Lady announced Argo as the winner. And it's just, again, and I'll include it in the show links, we did an entire episode about 2 or 3 weeks ago at Ground Zero called "And the Winner Is the Military Industrial Complex," basically saying, which government propaganda do you think will win Best Picture? Will it be Lincoln, which is all about Civil War and making, you know, allusions and connections to, you know, the famed Obama? Or will it be Zero Dark 30, the one about the government connections to the CIA operative and all of those things? It's fascinating. James, I guess I wonder, and I'll throw it back to you, if Zero Dark 30 was meant to be the one to take all the crap and to take all the discussion and to take all of the heat, meanwhile Argo, which is essentially the same thing, it's the same story, it's the same government-funded propaganda, zooms to victory while Argo kind of gets pinned down. And again, it did its job. It was meant to take the heat while the other CIA movie cruised to victory.
And exactly as the latest round of nuclear talks begins in Kazakhstan. So that's an interesting little bit of timing on that anyway. But I'm proud to say that not only have I become so detached from the Hollywood programming complex that I didn't watch the Oscars, but I didn't watch any of the movies that were nominated for an Oscar. So I really have no idea what was going on, but I have read about Argo, and there was an interesting story that was posted up by Tim Kilkenny of Revelations Radio News the other day that I retweeted and that I'll put in the related links, that breaks down all of the historical inaccuracies of Argo. So it's interesting that it seems to be the young Iranians who weren't around at the time and have no experience of it that seem to be the defenders of this movie, because the ones that were there know that it is completely 100% fiction. It is totally made up. Every key scene in the movie is totally made up, but that doesn't matter because it's all fictional license. Of course, they can say whatever they want. They can put whatever scenes they want in because they have that license.
I always find it really interesting, James, that they tout, you know, based on a true story, this is historically accurate. We have the consultants who were involved in the real event. You know, this is a legit, you know, retelling of this story. And then inevitably when people say, no, it's not, this is not historically accurate, and they'll go, hey, it's just a movie, they want it both ways.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And it's the same with Zero Dark Thirty. I mean, again, it doesn't matter if any of the actual scenes happened. It didn't matter if the thrust of the narrative is completely wrong. Still, it's going to be lauded and praised for being a wonderful presentation of the types of things they're dealing with, blah, blah, blah. But yes, it is interesting that that two of the nominees for Best Picture were directly CIA creations, Argo and Zero Dark Thirty. And then, as you say, Lincoln just fawning over the government and trying to put Lincoln up as some sort of god on Earth. So, again, it's quite disgusting just how blatant and in your face it is, and how can you top it off with anything better than having the First Lady herself actually present the award to them, as if there is no political symbolism going on there.
That was the thing for me. It was like, if you had any remaining doubt that this is not a complete propaganda push, leaving even aside just the complete and utter narcissism of the Obamas that must insert themselves into every single situation. James, I think in closing, it's even interesting as we track these memes, as again, you can't not take an esoteric view of some of these events, because if you do your research, you'll know that they know the esoteric side, and that's how they operate. So when you look at it through that lens, you can see things in a different way. We've been tracking the nuclear meme, to go back to Hanford and to Fukushima, for several weeks. Noted, and we kind of believe kicked off at the Super Bowl, where Beyonce, another one who has to show up in every single event, debuted a new song with the reunited Destiny's Child, and it's called Nuclear. And I think they're pushing the scorched earth policy.
All right. Well, that's a lot to take in. So we'll leave it there for this week. But James, always fascinating to talk to you. So I'm looking forward to next week.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.